If you're struggling in your career, business, or life, this podcast is for you. 9/11 survivor Ari Schoenbrunn shares inspiring interviews so you too can rise like a phoenix from the ashes to live your best life. Here's your host, Ari.
Welcome to Whispers and Bricks. My name is Ari Schoenbrunn. I'm your host. Today with me, my guest is Lisa Caprelli. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Lisa. Lisa Caprelli is an award-winning author of 16 books, including the Unicorn book series, Unicorn Jazz. She's passionate about writing, as she explains, "I grew up shy and introverted. My only voice was on paper." With that said, this Latina author has created a world-class brand around a unicorn named Unicorn Jazz, with animal friends and ocean animal characters. At the onset of the pandemic, Lisa knew she had to do something outside the box to continue creating and developing her characters for children. A year later, she launched Unicorn Jazz. Unicorn Jazz presents The Thing I Do. That is on Amazon TV Prime, which is described as a modern-day Sesame Street meets Mickey Mouse Club, where kids can send in their own video content, music, talent, and more. She's been featured in Forbes magazine, ABC News outlets, USA Today newspapers, just to name a few. She grew up with humble beginnings in the Sun City of El Paso, Texas, and is proud of her Latin roots and culture. She has experience presenting to elementary, middle, and high school students and has taught at Long Beach State, California. With a 26-year history of branding, public relations, FM AM radio, the Business Experience Show, podcasting, and writing background, whew, that's a lot, Lisa has made writing her life. As an entrepreneur, Lisa went on a 2.5-year journey researching and interviewing 13 notable entrepreneurs on what makes for a meaningful, happy, and prosperous life. Enter her book, Skip a Step, Imparting Wisdom for Young Entrepreneur Minds. It was through Skip a Step that she fulfilled her life's purpose to create the Unicorn Jazz world. This best-selling author is proud to be the first generation to graduate from college, graduating magna cum laude with a bachelor's of science degree in social psychology. She believes in community outreach and volunteering, as seen with her reach and storytelling with children's hospitals. Lisa enjoys keeping up and teaching the latest trends in technology to leverage and collaborate with great leaders to make stories and the love of reading meaningful. Please help me welcome Lisa Caprelli.
Hey, thank you, Ari. What a wonderful introduction.
Hey, Lisa, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
That's great. I'm wonderful. Thanks so much for joining me on the show today. That was some resume, let me tell you. That's absolutely amazing. I mean, I'm tired just reading about it.
I'm very humble. Thank you. I'm in awe because, I grew up with humble beginnings. I grew up in a family of five, a divorced parents. You know, my mom was a single mom, raised us a large Hispanic family. We grew up with a lot of love. So I often say, you know, how do you know you're poor unless someone tells you? Because we didn't know until we got to this grade school. We had a lot of love. And I had my grandmother who believed in me. And I, you know, in my books and my works, it's so important that we believe in others, you know. And I know everyone who's listening can think of at least one person in their life that believed in them, that helped them to catapult to next levels of their life. And for me, that's one of the reasons I enjoy paying it forward and reaching out to the younger generations.
Wow. Wow. Now you just answered like four of my questions that I had prepared for you. So I guess we're going to have to spend the next 30 minutes just looking at each other. No, just kidding.
I know, you're so funny.
Just kidding. Okay. But as you know, the name of the podcast is Whispers and Bricks. The whispers are those voices telling you what the right thing to do is, and they represent the good in life. The bricks represent the bad things that we go through in life. And we all know that life is not a straight line. There are many ups and downs and many bumps in the road. Now, you've had a very successful career in branding and marketing over 26 years. And then 3 years ago, bam, you just gave it all up. You must have been hit with one heck of a brick. Tell us what happened.
Well, there's a combination of many things. You know, we often hear growing up, do what you love and you'll never have to work a day in your life. I mean, who doesn't want to live up to that mantra? Or, you know, when you actually do what you love and the skill set that over decades in life, then it's going to be rewarding and fulfilling. We hear things about what is our why, like Simon Sinek in his TED Talk. We hear about, what is your purpose in life, right? And when that applies to work, you know, after going on a 2.5 year quest and research for my book, Skip a Step, Imparting Wisdom for Young Entrepreneur Minds, and I asked different people questions about what is the meaning of life. I mean, you know, Michael Gerber, who wrote the E-Myth series, 6-time New York Times bestselling author Joe Garner, so many other people, Jessica Jackley, who did TED Talk, she was an Oprah. And for me, it was a way to, again, what would I want to tell my younger self that could have helped me fast forward, skip many steps into doing what I love. I became an entrepreneur once I moved from Texas to California. It's been 20 years now. I've started different companies. People would come to me to market their company, whether they're a brand, product, or service. And a lot of it was my background in social psychology, understanding the psychology of how things work. A lot of it was figuring out things myself and being a lifelong learner. And after helping over 150 CEOs and brands, figure out their why, their purpose, making what their joy, you know, making their work fun and spreading that into their company. Because as you know, as a leader, it starts at the top. In 2018, it wasn't taking a chance on what I wanted. It was like, what can I do now? Having the confidence and the wherewithal to create a company and a brand that I could lead with, market, run, et cetera. And a lot of people don't know, I do love writing, and I knew that writing books is your own IP, your own intellectual property. And so I created a brand around a unicorn. There's Hello Kitty, that's a brand. There's, you know, Mickey Mouse, a big brand. And I wanted Unicorn Jazz. It was very catchy, simple. I put a lot of my personality in her. She's a shy unicorn that moves to a new land in search of new friends until someone believes in her. I mean, many of us can relate to a story like that. I did grow up really shy. When I speak at schools, when I have the privilege and honor to speak in front of all the age groups, you know, if I get invited to like a fifth grade classroom, I say, well, let me speak to your whole school. And I tailored my messages based on their age range. So realizing that responsibility and the fun factor in sharing messages for, you know, again, you just go back to your 7-year-old self and what would be messages I wanted to receive that would have pushed me, that would have propelled me into doing more of the things I love, into the thing I do. So I created this story in the middle of the night, and I have different stories in the Unicorn Jazz series. What's important about this one has a lot of meaning to my heart is my show is called Unicorn Jazz Presents The Thing I Do. I have a song called The Thing I Do. Of course, it's children's books, which to me is still for all ages. The Thing I Do is about the thing that you do. If you're listening to this, sorry about that. The Thing I Do is about the thing you do. So if you're listening to this and you have different interests, maybe you're in your 30s or 40s and you've always wanted to play the guitar and you wanted to become an artist, it's outside of your career. And to me, you should do it. But why not encourage that at a younger age? You know, you and I, when we were growing up, you know, we were encouraged to have a profession like doctor, lawyer, you know, things that are going to pay the bills, right? But now, thanks to technology, thanks to so much range of diversity that we can learn many different things, why not encourage that at a young age so that if you're doing what you love, you're going to succeed and you're going to have a greater purpose to give back.
Wow. That's really, really amazing. So basically, you finally listened to the whispers, which led you to discover some deeper truths about yourself, probably about your life and what was really important to you. That's absolutely amazing.
Growing up for you, like what would have been in a voice that told you you could do the different things that you're doing on? I mean, being a podcast host, which I've had different shows myself, and I've been on your end of interviewing people and learning from some amazing people in the world. And I'm sure you're a lifelong learner as well. Is what if we were introduced to these when we were young, you know, and the team concept of connecting with other people that do their things, because I'm not a singer. I get professional singer, kid singers for my songs. I'm not the illustrator. I got an illustrator to do all the art. And so the thing I do is about people coming together and the teamwork that is essential to grow what you love to do.
Wow. You know, and you're right. You know, I wish I would have had somebody telling me and the telltale sign for me, which happened well, I don't want to tell you how many years ago because that'll be giving away my age and I don't like to tell my age. But when I was in college, my favorite course in college, back then it was called speech. I think today they call it communication. All right. It was my absolute.
That was your favorite. Okay. That was my fear.
That was my favorite, favorite subject. I never prepared for it. You know, every week you had to put down an outline of what you were going to talk about, and, you know, points and whatnot, whatever. Never did a stitch of work like that. I would walk into class. I'd say, like, what's the topic? What are we doing? You know, somebody would tell me and I'd get up and literally ad lib for the next 3 minutes. Like, no,
it's amazing.
Right.
I couldn't do what you do. So I would need to work with you if I wanted to promote something.
So but it never dawned on me to become a public speaker, right? It never dawned on me to become a coach, to become a couple of things. It just, I wish I would have known what I know today. I wish I would have known then, because my life would have been totally different. Now, because of what I went through on 9/11, that kind of, you know, thrust me into the limelight. And I realized that, you know, telling my story was so beneficial, besides being beneficial for me, because it was very therapeutic for me after the whole thing happened on 9/11. I was affecting people's lives. I was changing people's lives. And I never realized how powerful that could be. But I'm glad that I found it. I'm glad that I do it. And then it was only 6-8 months ago where a friend of mine convinced me to actually start a podcast. It never dawned on me to start a podcast, but I did. Once I started and I started to interview people, I just fell in love with it. It was unbelievable. You know, it was great. Now, let me ask you this. Did you ever reach a point in your life when you said to yourself, you know, this is too hard. I can't do it. I'm giving up my dreams. I'm just not going to, you know, I just can't do it. And if that did happen, okay, how did you get out of it? How did you break away from that and become the person that you've become?
You know, a lot, I would say I was typically the cheerleader for people, the CEOs and the brands I work for, to do that, to not give up. You know, again, we need someone to believe in you. For myself, if it wasn't with Unicorn Jazz, with the pandemic, I wasn't able to go to school. So my work was affected. I would put myself in the artist entertainment category where everything was stopped. I was on a city by city tour getting requested in different parts of the country. And again, my lifeblood is children. Put me in front of 300 to 1,000 children in a day. Very easy to sell books, very easy to give some key messages that are inspiring and that they want more of, and that, you know, that the educators and the adults also get to learn from. When that changed for me, had I not gone into schools before the pandemic, so of course timing is everything. Mm-hmm. Because there, you know, I said, what am I going to do with all this time now, right? And I said, I got to create something. Create, you know, if you don't, in doubt, and create. What can I create? I said, I could create a show. It started on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, which is now on Amazon TV, where we have a season rolling out called The Thing I Do. And rather than, you know, be depressed, because that's quicksand, you know, I just said, no, I have to be a leader of happiness. I'm going to recruit other people. We're going to be happiness leaders, as I would call it, to share the things we do and make it fun and entertaining and educational. So we started doing that video piecing together segments that create the show. Thanks to technology, we were able to do this. And I led it and directed it behind the scene. Had I not known that my success was in schools, and I knew the pandemic would lift, we didn't know how long, right? And for me, I looked at it, I was buying time to create content. When I go back into schools in this new school year and coming, you know, I actually created more. So imagine, you know, I'm more than a children's author. I'm a show creator. I'm a singer. I'm a songwriter, not a singer, but I do sing. And I created more books. I created beyond the book activities for all my books, you know, things that the teachers could use. I did go do virtual Zoom visits to all the schools, which was easy. I could be in New York and then Texas all in one day. And the world caught on to technology. So even going forward, I could still do virtual. I could still do in person, which in person is my favorite, you know, to connect and see people. Like, you know, I'm sure the same for you. And if I didn't know that, I would have questioned myself. And there are times you're going to question yourself as a business owner, because it, you know, when you're a startup company, it takes years. Nothing, there's very rare that it's overnight success. The 13 people in my book skip a step. They had their own trials and tribulations. Some of them started, they made a world-class company the first time, something changed, the recession changed them. They figured out something else to do. So for me, it was really going on the pitfalls and success of other people, knowing that that's what you do. So if you don't have other people to that believe in you, you need a support system. Like you said, you're a coach. People need you to cheer them on, to champion them, to when there's a problem, what's the solution? You know, like there's a saying, you know, if it's meant to be, it's up to me. What are you going to do that's going to be different? You know, when Blockbuster was in everywhere in the country in the storefront, and then into Netflix, life is going to always change. What are you going to do to adapt to the change in your business? And are you going to be able to weather the storm of how long it's going to take for you to be a business that is successful?
Wow. You're absolutely right. You know, I interviewed a guy and I asked him the following question. I said, so how long did it take you to become an overnight success? He said to me, 18 years. Yeah. Okay. And people don't realize that. People see famous people or people that are very successful and they think it happens overnight, and it doesn't. And people go through, you and I, we've gone through our trials and tribulations, different ones, but still in all trials and tribulations. And I'll be honest with you, I'm the first to admit it. I still have doubts very often. I'll wake up in the morning, I'm going like, this is never going to work. You know, I'm never going to make any money. And I wake up with those doubts. All right. And you have to push through. And I push through, and I listen to a motivational tape, or I talk to people like you who really, really get me fired up. And I say, well, if she can do it, I can do it.
You keep going.
That's exactly right. That's exactly it. Let me ask you, I think you answered the question, but I don't remember. Like, who is the one person you can point to that you could say had the most influence in your life?
As a child, my grandmother had a third grade education. She, her mother died and she had to raise her family and not continue school. So her, again, being Hispanic family, we were first generation, my sisters and I, to go to college and graduate.
Where did you come from?
El Paso, Texas, a border town.
But where did you come from?
Well, my ancestors would be from Mexico.
Third
generation Texas. My grandmother grew up in New Mexico. Which is right next to where we are. El Paso, Texas is bordering New Mexico, and it's bordering Juarez, Mexico, which is a third world country. So growing up, it was definitely my grandmother. When I got into the workforce, there was a girl named Cindy Kirkland. I talk about her all the time. We're still friends. She helped pave the way in believing in me and recognizing my talent, recognizing that I wanted to do more, learn more. Learn every department there was, and she would teach me. And again, back then I was shy still as an adult, and she just gave me that, just believing in me, you know. And as I got older, you know, professors, everyone has a great professor, great teacher. Mm. Learn from them, you know, that after school, like when they have, you know, hours you can learn from, go learn from them, you know. Thanks to today, we have technology. You and I are older than Google and YouTube. So we can Google and YouTube things and learn. There's always a way to learn and not being afraid. And I say to the people over 30, over 40, who maybe, you know, are afraid of technology compared to the younger generations that are born with the internet in their pocket, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know,
talk to my 17-year-old.
Yeah. So, you know, I feel it's a responsibility to keep learning as much as I can. And when it's not your favorite thing, outsource it. But I'm constantly creating learning, and it keeps me young at heart. I want to. I learned how to video edit last year when I was creating my show, because I worked with some phenomenal editors, but there's things that I needed done faster, or I wanted to learn the behind the scenes of what editing was like. And it's kind of fun. I mean, it's another form of writing in a way for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love to create, and Michael Gerber in my first chapter of Skip a Step, at the very end, he's 80 years old when I interviewed him.
Wow.
And he's still speaking. He's still writing. He's just a mover and shaker and loves what he does. And I said, what is the meaning of life? And he's like, it's why it's to create, you know, we're given on this earth to create. So all these words of create, to have vision, be kind, support each other, build relationships in life, and always take care of, nurture them, you know, common sense things, be a good person, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And, you know, now that I am a speaker, and now that I you get to impart wisdom to children, for me, it's a responsibility I take. It's made me a better person, because who am I to speak about certain things, you know, moral ethics, if I'm not living them? And again, not that I've, you know, no one's perfect on this earth. We all have our stuff that we've done. And for me, I feel, you know, God sent in the skills I've been given, but the people that do look up to me, and for me, what are the messages I'm going to put out to the world? And thankfully, I just turned 50 this year. I hope to write 50 more books if I can, or more, or, you know, I hope to have an animated series with Unicorn Jazz. So there's a lot ahead. I definitely am grateful for my 26 years plus in marketing and branding that I did not know would help me so much today, you know. Right. I sometimes tell people when I became, okay, I'm now a children's author again. I tell people it's kind of like, I feel like Benjamin Button, where I started working with adults in business. And that was my comfort zone, networking, business, you know, CEOs, leaders, that kind of thing, and brands. And then I wrote a book, Skip a Step, which was for teens. And I wanted it for the teen mind, even though it's for all ages. And then now working with children's, and now I'm actually doing baby books as well. So I'm like Benjamin Button. And I tell people at the beginning, I wanted to kind of forget that I didn't want people to know me for marketing and branding. I didn't want to be typecast, you know, but how could you forget that? And then, you know, people ask, well, how did you do all that? And it's because of that background. So you never know what you learn in life. Like maybe for 10 years, you're doing a certain trade or profession, and you completely change like I did. And I'm happy I did. I'm living the best life. I love what I do. I've learned about balance, which I wrote in my chapter 13 of Skip a Step, which I learned from people about happiness is not work all the time, which I've done. You know, you need, I have something called five hats, which when you fuel your five hats or your partner's five hats, you know what they are, you know what your employees are, you're going to thrive and be happier. So the five areas of life, our family, friendship, your career, the connection you have, and the adventure. So those five areas, they're true for you, they're true for me when you get to discover them. And it's like a fuel meter. And sometimes, you know, if you are a new business, you're going to probably work more than the average person. But don't do it for too long, because your family and your friendships might suffer. You know, I've been there, done that. I've seen people been there, done that. I've seen people very successful, super millionaires, and they lost the balance in their life and they're not happy. So what's the point of having, you know, beautiful exotic cars, oceanfront homes, which I've seen, and they're not happy, or they're doing wrong things. You know, I don't see what the value that is in life. And I got to see all this, and I didn't want to do the mistakes other people did. I wanted to learn from them and be a better person.
Wow. You know, you hit the nail on the head. I interviewed a woman who was a surgeon. And after umpteen years of schooling and umpteen years of working as a surgeon, whatever, she totally got burnt out, like totally. And she chucked it all trying to figure out what she wanted to do. And now she's become a coach, very successful. And she teaches people, you know, especially she focuses on burnout, and she just teaches people how to get through that and, you know, how to deal with that. I mean, it's amazing. It's exactly what you're talking about. And I find that, you know, many people, I like you said, you know, I've worked for a guy who, you know, was sitting on top of the world, literally, and he had everything that you can imagine. And I was talking to a friend of mine and I said, you know, I don't envy him. And they looked at me, they go, really, how come? I said, because he's got the same problems that I have. And they go, what do you mean? He's like a multi-billionaire. What? I says, I know, but he's got the same problems I have. It's just on a different scale. I worry about what kind of car I can afford to buy. He worries about what kind of jet he can afford to buy. Right. I worry about what kind of house I can have. And he worries about what kind of a mansion he can afford. Right. Yeah. So he has the same problems that I do. It's just on a different scale. So, you know what? I'm not envious of him.
No. And then the more comes, the more power, the more wealth comes, the more responsibility than the people that work for you. And then all of these things. And then people feel that they're entitled. And, you know, I've seen it all. And I feel like, you know, we are all doing the best we can, and we are all given, you know, again, like I say, your God-given talents. and to do the best that you can. Do I hope that I'm like, you know, baby Einstein was born out of a woman's garage and 5 years later she sold it to Disney? Do I hope that that's unicorn jazz? Yeah.
Of course.
Look, you know,
we're not saying that, you know, all we're saying is money isn't everything, but it is right. Something.
Well, exactly. And you will have enough when you understand that, when you learn business or you have mentors or coaches that help you. And for me, you know, going into schools and selling books and getting paid for speaking appearances, and to me, like, that's sustainable. And can I create more? And will I'm the writing's on the wall. Most likely. Yeah. So enjoy the journey. It.
The writing's on the wall. So now you're writing on walls.
Yeah, I do write everywhere. I write really fast, but it comes from decades of experience. I always say, as you introduced my bio, as my only voice was on paper growing up, and that's because I was shy. So my outlet was expression was writing. Little did I know that that was going to be really the lifeblood of my life. You know, writing is in social media message. Writing is in, you know, songs. I learned how to write songs. Writing is in books. That's kind of a given. Writing is, I've been able to articulate myself in writing first. Therefore, I can be a speaker second. It's still not my natural thing. Like, writing to me just comes so natural. I had to learn how to be a public speaker. Not my favorite thing. To be in front of a camera, I was like, can someone else do that for me? Of course, I had to learn. Wow. So, you know, in life, you're going to learn things that are beyond your comfort zone. And that's part of learning and growing.
Right. That's so funny, because by me, I'm not a writer at all. Okay. I did write a book. Okay. I wrote my book, Miracles and Fate on 78. Uh-huh. And the only reason I wrote it, well, I was kind of pushed into it by friends who told me I needed to write my story. And I said, I'm not a writer. They go, we don't care. You need to write it. And I tried to get a ghost writer to do it, but they wanted like stupid money for it.
Yeah.
So I realized that the only way it's going to get written is if I write it. I literally sat down and it took me about 9 months, God, you know, to write
good
it.
For you. Good
and,
for you.
Right. But it wasn't something that was natural to me. Now, public speaking, that's a whole nother ball game. I mean, you put me in front of an audience and I am golden. You know, there's nothing great. And you know what? The bigger the audience, the better I get. You know,
that's
just
wonderful.
It's just great.
Yeah, you could take your, you know, you could speak your book, which some people do. You could take your best of nuggets on your show and turn that into some kind of book. I mean, all kinds of things. But no, I get that. And we aren't supposed to be good at everything. It's like when I had my own marketing company, and here I see businesses trying to market that have zero experience. I'm like, why are you trying to do that? Like, that's not your forte. And again, the thing I do, book and show, is realizing that we need a team of people that do what they love. You know, that you connect with to grow, you know, in a bigger way. Like, I have a publicist still today now, because I don't have the time to do what she does and getting the brand awareness out there. I would then my balance on my five hats would be low. Oh, yeah. I'd be working all the time. I've done that, and I'm in a wonderful relationship right now. And we're always about balance. I mean, do we want to just have fun all the time? Yeah, but you know, we're going to run out of money, you know, like, you need to work. You know, I love building the relationships with my family, and boy, did we not learn during the pandemic how family and friendship is everything to us, the relationships, and, you know, having connection. And what is your adventure? How did you make adventure during the pandemic? We all found innovative ways to still have the adventure.
Right. So you're in a relationship. Do you have kids?
I do. I have a 30-year-old that's a nurse, and he actually plays my puppet voice, the Treziki. He's actually very funny. And I have a almost 16-year-old who's a YouTuber as well. Loves sports. Both for different personalities. Both. I always encourage technology with them, and boy, did they learn it and apply it to their careers.
They must be proud of mom, though.
Thank you.
I'm sure.
You know, I think it's one of those things when I'm older and they have kids, maybe they'll appreciate more, but it's fine. I've learned, like, they, you know, they got to be kids for their age and do their own thing. My son that works with me doing the puppets, I actually have a lot of fun with him, because he has like an actor personality. Oh, and I tend to recruit people like to help me, you know, to grow the things that I do and have fun doing it. And it's hard to not enjoy working when your message is for kids. Most people do. And that's another thing I didn't realize, how much fun it was going to be when kids, you know, innocent, vulnerable, and again, we were once there, that they can take away some really cool messages based on the life work you have.
100%. Okay, before we go, is there anything you can share with my audience, any words of wisdom from all your experience, something you just want to impart with them, something short?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to share a quote by F. Scott Fitzgerald. I hope you live a life that you're proud of. I hope you live a life that's true. And if you're not, I hope you have the courage and strength to start over again. And that has been me.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's really great. Okay, so if people want to get in touch with you, advice, or they just want to pick your brain, or they want coaching, or they, whatever it is, right? What's the best way for them to do that? You have a website, you have
I do. I'm very easy to follow, and I'm going to give out my children's brand, unicornjazz.com. You can learn about me no matter what age. We it's always fun to learn through fun ways.
Okay,
I'm on all the unicornjazz.com.
Unicorn Jazz, UNICORNJAZZ.
Yes.
.com unicornjazz.com. Great. So that's your website.
Yes. You can also go to Lisa Caprelli, my first and last name.com, and reach me. They're all lead to the same place. I'm very grateful to connect with educators, parents, teachers, people who enjoy giving positive messages for kids of all ages. Thank you for having me on your wonderful show, Ari.
Well, thank you for joining us. I'll touch base with you offline about some of those teachers and educators. Okay. Lisa, thanks so much for sharing your story with my audience. Good luck going forward. You've been listening to Whispers and Bricks, and I'm your host, Ari Shoman. Until next time, listen to the whispers, avoid the bricks, and never, ever give up on your dreams. Bye for now.
So that's it for today's episode of Whispers and Bricks. Head on over to iTunes and subscribe to the show. One lucky listener every single week that posts a review on iTunes will win a chance in the grand prize drawing to win a $25,000 private VIP day with Ari himself. Be sure to head on over to whispersandbrickspodcast.com and pick up a free copy of Ari's gift, and join us on the next episode.